After the sermon, we will sing together from Psalter 180, stanza 5 and 8. Psalter 180, the stanzas 5 and 8. Text for the sermon you can find in Exodus 28, verse 29. So the text is Exodus 28, verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth into the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. Beloved congregation, the text of this afternoon service is about priests. More precisely, about the high priest. And we can ask the question, why were there priests? Was that an idea of Moses? Did he make that up? And just thought, well, that would be a good thing to have some priests? No. Priests, and the high priest in particular, were a gift of God. God appointed priests to serve in his tabernacle, in his temple, and he appointed the high priest to present the people, to represent the people before him, and to represent him with the people. And why was that? Well, the Israelites could not communicate, could not enter into communion with God just like that. A child of Adam cannot enter into the communion of God since fall in sin. It's impossible. Since our fall in sin, it is impossible to draw near unto God. In paradise, before the fall, Adam and Eve could do that. They knew in the garden, they knew God in the garden in the cool of the day. They walked with him in the Garden of Eden. But after the fall in sin, Adam and Eve were not able to enter into communion with God anymore. They were not able to walk with God. By their own guilt, they were driven out by God, out of paradise, out of him, of his communion, by their deliberate disobedience that had that has caused the breach of the bond with God. And since then, Adam and every child of Adam needs a mediator, needs someone who takes his place before God. Someone appointed and acceptable by God. Someone who was appointed by God himself to stand between him and the people. And in the communion of God with the people of Israel, God appointed the priests. They should serve. And he appointed the high priest to mediate between God and the people of Israel. And now we see a description in Exodus 28 of the garment of the high priest. And theme of the sermon tonight is the high priest in the sanctuary. And the first thought, we will pay attention to the person of the high priest. Second point is the garment of the high priest. And they come together in the third point, the comfort of the high priest. So the high priest in the sanctuary or in the holy place, the person, the garment, and the comfort of the high priest. And you know, and every child in the sanctuary knows that the first high priest was Aaron. He was called to the duty to serve God. And like all other things in the service of the Lord, the tabernacle and the different objects in the tabernacle, God gave very precise instructions to Moses. He did that to the forms and the materials and the measurements and the objects. But so does the Lord also do with the garment of the high priest. Very precise instructions to the clothing of those who were appointed to serve him. God does not leave that up to the priests. What they would think what was nice. No, God gives precise instructions because he wants to send a message through the garment and through the priests. Because through the priest, God approaches the people. And through the priest, the people approach God. And that must have been an impressive happening. Just try to picture it before you. The court of the tabernacle, that you are standing there with your children and seeing the priest make the sacrifice on the altar of burnt offering. And then he enters the sanctuary. He goes into the holy place to serve. And while the people are watching, he goes into the holy place, behind the veil, out of sight. And the people standing there, they know it. This one man goes before us, entering the holy place to do what we cannot do. He goes for us. And what is he going to do, this person? A priest is mainly doing three things. He's making the sacrifice, he is going to pray, and he is blessing the people. On behalf of the people, he represents the people with God. He makes that burnt offering. He makes that offer of incense and he prays. And after that, on behalf of God, he comes towards the people to bless them in the name of the Lord. And if you compare this to what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 14, or chapter 9, verse 24, he tells us that Jesus Christ is the high priest who passed into the heavens with his own blood. And Psalm 110 sings about the high priest, not like Aaron, not out of the line of the house of Aaron, but he is high priest like Melchizedek, separately called. Jesus is the high priest who did not serve in a tabernacle built with human hands, but he served in the heavens. And the tabernacle was an image of the heaven. And so Jesus Christ is the high priest who enters the heavenly sanctuary. When he ascended into heaven, Luke 24, Acts 1. That impressive moment on the Mount of Olives when the disciples see Jesus ascending into heaven. And when he ascends into heaven, he stretched out his hands to bless his church. And when he enters into heaven, he is going there to do the work of the high priest. He does do that threefold task. He made that sacrifice when he was nailed on the cross. He made that perfect sacrifice on Calvary. And he blesses his church when he ascends into heaven. And when he is in heaven, in that holy place, out of our sight, he is praying. He always lives to pray for his people. And that Old Testament high priest in his person is an image of Christ, an image of the priestly office of Christ. Jesus Christ, you know that he has three offices. He is a prophet. He has to teach us in the way of salvation. And we need that. We need instruction and we need a teacher. And he bears also the office of king. He rules the world. He has to rule our lives, my life. And his ascension into heaven is his coronation day, and he receives as a victor the place of honor at the right hand of his Father. And he receives all power in heaven and earth. And he receives also the authority to pass the last judgment on all creation. And we need to learn to bow down before this eternal King. And so he is also a high priest. And we need a high priest. We need a priest, a high priest for our reconciliation and for the forgiveness of our sin. We need a high priest that teaches us how to pray. We need a high priest to be blessed, to receive earthly and spiritual blessings. Blessings for our lives, blessings for our work, spiritual blessings. To know God, to come and enter into the presence of God. To receive faith. We need a high priest for blessings undeserved by us, but earned by this priest with his own blood. May I ask the question to you and to myself? Did we already need a priest? Did we already need this particular high priest in our lives as our mediator that will do the work that I'm not able to do, but I cannot miss? Do we need a mediator for our salvation? Do we need a mediator to enter again into the presence of the living God? And did we unlearn to try it ourselves, to do it ourselves? Because that is what the Holy Spirit will teach an Israelite standing in the court of the tabernacle. And that is what the Holy Spirit will teach us tonight when we read Exodus 21 and see the high priest in his garment do his work. He will teach us meekness and to be humble. He will cure our high-mindedness, that we think that we can do it ourselves. We cannot enter the holy place. We cannot go beyond that veil. He teaches us that we indeed need an other to do it for us. An other with a capital letter. And that we start to pray if this other person will do it for us. That is what the Lord wants to teach in the person of the priest. That is what he will teach in the garment of the priest. And let us give a closer look to the garment of the high priest. That was a beautiful garment. It's God's order when he has to enter the holy place, he has to wear his so-called golden garment to be distinguished from the white garment that he only was allowed to wear once a year on the Day of Atonement when he enters the Most Holy. All the other days of the year he has to wear his golden garment. It's a blue garment with all golden robes and golden rings and other golden things. He wears that blue garment with golden pomegranates and with golden bells fixed to it, so when he walks, the people can hear him walk. He wears that mitre with a golden plate on which the text was graved, engraved, "Holiness to the Lord." And over this blue garment he wears the ephod, a part of that garment made of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and linen, which had a front and a back, and attached to each other with golden buckles fixed to the shoulder, and in those buckles two stones of sardonyx, and on those stones, on both sides, 12 names in total, the 12 names of the tribes of Israel. The high priest is carrying the people of Israel on his shoulders when he enters the holy place. And to the ephod was fixed a breastplate with strings, with golden strings. It's kind of a bag in which the Urim and the Tumim were put, woven fabric. And with those Urim and Tumim, the high priest could provide the counsel from God, and therefore they named the breastplate of judgment. And on this breastplate there were 12 gemstones fixed in golden enclosings. For every tribe of Israel, a specific stone. And on every stone, the name of the tribe engraved. The high priest, when he does the work he has to do, he carries the people of Israel, the tribes of Israel, each and every one, on his heart when he enters the holy place. God grants the 12 tribes of Israel a place on the shoulders of this specific man and on the heart of this appointed man. Those 12 tribes are one flock on the heart of the high priest, and he carried in his office, wherever he goes, the whole people of Israel on his shoulders and on his heart. Always, all the tribes. And what the breastplate tells us, it's the symbolic design, so to speak, of the work of Christ. Christ fulfilled the work of the office of the high priest. He carries the names of his own, not only on his shoulders, not only on his heart, he keeps them in his heart. And do we see the proclamation of this garment? It shows the spiritual truth that when the Holy Spirit starts to work in my life, he first teaches me that I need a Savior and that I cannot enter into the presence of a holy God. I need to be saved. I cannot do that myself. But that's not the only thing the Holy Spirit teaches. He also wants to fix my eyes onto this specific man. He directs my eyes to that great high priest in his official service. And when this high priest goes in the sanctuary alone, I cannot go with him. He has to do the work for me. But when he enters the sanctuary, he is not alone. He carries his people with him. That's the preaching of the breastplate. The high priest goes alone, and yet his people go with him. Which people? The covenant people. The covenant people. We have to confess that in this way. The covenant people. Those who are belonging to the covenant for which God has appointed this high priest. But we all know, by the mouth of Jesus, that it is necessary that a branch that is in the vine, that is grafted in the vine, needs to receive the sap, the sap of the vine, to receive that from Him. By holy baptism, I am grafted into Christ. I may belong to the people of God. Set apart. Set apart for what? Set apart for being served by this high priest. That we may come to know Him as our mediator. We all can understand. If you try to imagine a father standing there with his son in the court of the tabernacle, and he just stands there like, okay, we have to do this because it's Sabbath day. And when his son asks, why do we do this? Well, these are the rules. This is what we are used to. And when the priest finishes his work, they go home and that's it. There is no real relationship there. There is not really the branch that need the sap from the vine. But when you stand there with your children and your children ask you, what are we doing here? That the high priest just enters into the sanctuary and that you tell your children, look at that man. Look at him. Because he is going to do what is needed for our salvation. And we cannot do it ourselves, but God provided us graciously with this man who is able to do it. Look upon him. Listen to him. Yeah. Listen to him. Because when you're in the court of the tabernacle and you'll be very quiet, still seeing the smoke of the burnt altar, you can hear the high priest in the holy place because he has those little bells on his garment. And when he walks in there, you can hear it. He's at work. And when you listen carefully, you can even hear him pray at the altar of incense for the people. That he may come back to the people with a blessing of God. You see, true faith is needed. Through faith we become a living, fruit-bearing branch, a true member of Christ. Faith in the service of this high priest, in the person of this high priest, who wears the breastplate with the names of the tribes. Faith sees the beauty of it. Did you see that? Looking to Christ, did you see the beauty of His high priest office? When He wears the names of His people on His heart, that He took His people everywhere where He went. Do you know what that means for your faith? It means that wherever the high priest went, I went with him. Where was I on Good Friday? Faith sees the high priest dying on the cross, hanging in the wrath of a holy God. And where he hung in the wrath of God, he took me with him. And when he was dead and buried, I was buried with him. And when this high priest rose again from the dead on Easter, where was I? I rose with him out of the grave. Where was I on Ascension Day? He took his people with him into the heavens. Ephesians 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? How do I believe that? With an empty hand, with eyes fixed on this high priest going before me to do the things that are needed and I can do myself. With the trust of a child. The trust of the high priest. There he goes. To do. To fulfill. To make a perfect work. Nothing of myself. Nothing by myself. But everything in Christ the high priest. Through faith. In him there is a treasure of all kinds of blessings. He has earned it for his believers. In him they may possess everything for time and eternity. Made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ. Yes, the high priest ascended into heaven. He carried the name of his people with him, on his heart, in his heart, on his shoulders. What is the result of that? The result is that his people in this life are still with their both legs in this world, but their walk is in heaven. They became citizens of heaven, strangers on this earth, not any longer at home in this world with all the sin and all the temptations, but not yet at home in the house of the Father with the many mansions. And the result is that there is a longing in the heart, an expectation, waiting for the high priest to come back with the full blessing of the Lord. The hope for a better country. And there will be a time that the new Jerusalem will come down. Do you know this grace? Do you have this expectation? Do you live in this hope? That is grace, which is available in this high priest, in this compassionate high priest. And I have to tell you, without this grace of this high priest, you cannot do. You see it in front of you. Only the high priest can enter the holy place. And only in the high priest you can enter the holy place. Therefore Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Without Christ and without his work, we and our children will not enter the kingdom of God. Without that bond of faith to Christ, we will be deceived. He is only the way, the truth, and the life. And there is only one way to be saved, and only one way to be brought back into communion with God. And that is in and through this high priest, Jesus Christ. And the preaching of the word is the proclamation again that it is still possible for the greatest of sinners, for all of Israel, for all the tribes. There is place with this high priest, and make your name known unto him. Pray that he will carry you on his shoulder and on his heart. This high priest is an advocate for and a savior and a mediator with God for poor sinners. And he is willing to be their high priest. It's an invitation. The garment of this high priest is an invitation to look upon him and to see him at work and to believe in him. And that invitation may go out freely, because this high priest ascended into heaven with his hands stretched out over his church to bless them. And who prayerfully bends under these these pierced hands may find and shall find grace and compassion to be helped by him in the time of need. And that's part of the comfort of this high priest. Because if I think of God's holiness, and on the contrary, my unholiness, who would even dare to consider to approach God? If we have a little consciousness of God's righteousness, and I think about my unrighteousness, how could I ever lift up my eyes to the Lord? Then I can understand the publican in that parable that didn't dare to lift up his eyes to the heaven, but only could cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord knows that. The Lord knows that there can be an Israelite that had committed a sin during that week, and when he enters the court of the tabernacle, that he does not dare to lift up his eyes to the high priest. And therefore he grants in his great compassion that the high priest, the mediator between him and us, in whom the communion with God is possible, is a proclamation of comfort. Pay attention to the garment. God provided so graciously with precise instructions for his people. First, there is an unbreakable bond between the high priest and the people. If someone stood there in the court thinking, I have sinned so much, I lost every connection with the high priest, he is mistaken. Those stones are all in place in their golden enclosing. Gold is in the tabernacle, the symbol of grace and mercy. And there is an inscription in those stones, engraven, deep engraven, like Isaiah 49, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. That's a comfort. It cannot be erased. God ordered it, and it is there from the beginning because of God's will. It was not engraved in the stone after one of the Israelites or one of the tribes said, yeah, I like to be engraved in a stone. It was God's will to engrave them already in the stone. And he had a golden enclosure for every stone. It's not engraved from the moment of my rebirth or regeneration or my first act of faith. It's from eternity. Christ's own are given to him from eternity. They are given by the Father, and he will never regret. Your life is hid with Christ in God. The bond between Christ and his people is unbreakable. They are enclosed in the gold of grace and fixed to the heart of the Savior. And their names are engraved and given to him by the Father since eternity. Look upon this high priest if you have sinned. And if you think you lost all mercy. He's a compassionate high priest. And God's people are included in Christ. And therefore they are saved in him. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? No, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our High Priest. And pay attention to the location of the breastplate. On his heart. That goes further than the two stones of onyx on his shoulders. that's comfort for those who need a high priest and think they've lost all grace. He carries his people on his heart, close to his heart. Intimate connection. The high priest stood in that intimate, heartly connection with the people. Also Christ. On the heart of the Savior, on the heart of our surety. It shows us how much love he has for his people. Fixed on his heart like gemstones. Yeah, what are gemstones? They're just stones. We give value to certain gemstones, but in fact they are just stones. They have no value in itself because we like them for their color or their transparency. We are willing to give money for it, but in fact they are just stones. What are God's people? They're in itself sinners. But God grants value to sinners in Christ. He grants that graciously because he is God. And in his eyes, they are precious. And his love is unconditionally and one-sided. What a comfort. Not my love did create the bond with him. His love. He was first. He granted value. He granted love. He granted grace. But that means also this. If you're sitting here with a burdened heart because of your sin, if he is the first in his love, and he made the bond with you, my remaining sin, the sin of our infirmity which still remains in us against our will, cannot break this bond. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. That is love that humbles me before God, but it is also love that makes a poor sinner rich. And even richer than the richest person on earth. And pay attention to the work of this high priest when he wears this garment, when he wears this breastplate. Christ is more than Aaron. Aaron stood now and then in the holy place two times a day, and he prayed at the altar of incense. And then he had to go home and he had to go to sleep because he was man and he got tired. But we read that Christ, the high priest, ascended into heaven and always lives to pray day and night. And all those hundreds, thousands of years, he is praying even at night. His priestly work continues always. Because Christ made that perfect sacrifice for all their sins, his prayers will always be heard. Yet this high priest, Jesus Christ, has truly everything what is indispensable to interfere and make intercession for sinners with God. And he carries the names of his own on his heart, in his heart, in his high priestly heart, the little ones and the grown-ups. The seekers and the assured, and not one will be forgotten by him. And nothing can overcome us in life, illness, temptation, sorrow, death, setbacks, or he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In all points, he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. And therefore he is a high priest who understands us so well in our needs, in our fears, in our pain, in our doubts. And we can wrestle so much in our loneliness, but what a comfort to lay our burdened hearts before this high priest. He experienced this loneliness. He was deserted by man. He was forsaken by his own father. And therefore this high priest can comfort more than anyone else. And when his people need to be purified through a way of suffering, this high priest has all means to let his people experience that their blood, their tears, their suffering is precious in his eye. And pay attention to the purpose of the breastplate. The purpose of the breastplate is for a memorial before the Lord continually. The people that were not allowed to enter the holy place, they were reminded before the Lord day after day. The high priest brought them in the sight of the Lord. Why? Would God have forgotten his own people? No. The Lord knows them, and the Lord knows everything. He will never forget his people. He does not need a remembrance of his people. He does not need a reminder to think of his people, but this breastplate as a reminder before the Lord continually is for the benefit of those believers in the court. It's a discovering lesson. When they see the high priest entering with that memorial before the Lord continually, they are themselves remembered of their God. How often they forgot him. It's a lesson in obedience. So often we went astray in righteousness versus long-suffering of the Lord. Unfaithfulness versus faithfulness of the Lord. But the Lord continued to think of his people, and he looked at his people in the high priest. He remembered his covenant with Israel when the high priest, with all the people on his heart, approached him. He will never forget. But then the breastplate is also of rich comfort. Psalm 40. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord think it upon me. When I sleep, he continues to pray. Or when I'll be in a coma, this high priest will pray. Or when I would grown demented, when I am through faith in Christ the High Priest, God will see me and watch over me constantly, because he sees me in his Son as a reminder before God continuously. What a comforting thought, what a comforting knowledge that this High Priest was during our lives our advocate. He will still be my advocate when I reach the border of this life. And when I'm called to enter through the door of death. And it could be that I am in such a physical condition that my spirit cannot be praying in the last hours. But also in that moment, there is this compassionate high priest. And the incense of Christ's prayer will rise for our good to his Father. What a beauty if we got to know this high priest. What a comfort. What a blessing. And the breastplate is the preaching of the gospel, that God sees his people carried by this almighty high priest. And even when we barter waste sin against grace, and there are so many days that we do, this high priest won't pluck one stone off his breastplate and say, "Now you have sinned too much. I throw you away now." Engraved in the stone, in that golden enclosing, he is truthful, and he does a complete work. And the surety of the salvation of his people lays in the hand of this gracious high priest, in the continuing work of this Christ. And through his intercession, he accomplished that the faith of his people will not fail. That is his word to Peter, and in Peter to all his people. "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. Oh, and Satan wants and desires that he may sift us and our children as wheat. He throws us on his sieve of temptation and trials and worldliness. But Christ will maintain the faith of his own, because he will pray continuously for them. And he's the great high priest who prays for weak faith, for tested faith, for who think that they lack faith because they disappoint themselves so often. For those, the high priest approaches the Father. And when you become quiet, and when you listen to him at work in the holy place, when you read the scriptures, you can hear the bells of his garment. And when you listen, you can hear him pray, "Father, I will that those thou hast given me will be here where I am." Then you can hear him pray his people home. And his prayer will always be heard. So why this sermon? This sermon is all about that you would have yourselves be included in his prayer. How? Simple. Just pray. "Jesus, pray for me. Take my name and take it upon in your prayer as an advocate." And you may ask him that because he is a compassionate high priest. You may pray, "Jesus, pray for me, because God will always hear thee. Included in his prayer, I know. What will ever happen in my life, he will pray me home." Do you have that bond with this high priest? Is he your only refuge for life and in death? And if you have to answer negative on that question at this moment, I urge you, make haste to go unto him who orders you, who invites you, who promises you with that simple word, "Come." Still, there is that gospel that invites us to come unto this high priest with all our guilt and invites us to come unto him only. And there's only one way by which he can be my intercessor. And it is that I learn to surrender and to hand over my case into his pierced hands, and that I lose all my guilt and sin at his feet, who took them upon himself. Don't be foolish, and continue to start to save yourself with all kinds of self-made priests. You cannot stand before the throne of judgment with an answer of my tidy life, my church going, my good intentions. You cannot stand before the holy God with your own merits. You can only stand there in the appointed man by God, Jesus Christ, his Son, the mediator, the only high priest. And the work of this high priest may not be and does not have to be completed with anything of us. Do you know this Christ? And you seekers, should you not continue in prayer? Shouldn't you put all your trust in him and see him and hear him at work for sinners? And who you who believe in him, continue to expect everything from him. And in this way, those of Christ will continually be presented to the Father. This is the firmness and the comfort of the church of all times and all places. And what a miracle. There will be a time that it is really going to happen. That it really is going to happen, that this merciful high priest comes back from the holy place to eternally bless the people who are waiting upon his appearance in faith. And then they all may come who believed in him where he now is, in the sanctuary, in the holy place, in the new Jerusalem, where there is no tabernacle or temple anymore, because all the city is house of the Lord, and where all his own may see him and praise him, and may see him eye to eye and praise him for eternity for all his work and his grace and his mercy, where God will be all in all. For Christ's sake, the great and merciful high priest. Amen.